You're listening to the Awkward Pillow Talk podcast. I'm your host, Jason Klass, along with my wife, OnlyFans model and self-proclaimed awkward chick, Stephanie Klass. We're here to get the awkward stuff out of the way. This podcast is a true representation of our journey through anxiety and learning to love sex. If any of that offends you, we'd like to say, fuck you.
All right, we're on. Welcome back again. What an awesome week we've had. It's been just wild. We get to the fact that people are resonating with our awkwardness, I suppose, and want to talk to us. It's cool because we have lots of questions. The amount of anxiety she had over the years, obviously, has left many questions that we know that other people have to answer, and it just bringing up different conversations and bringing in different people to talk about things, giving us these different angles. And today we're going to introduce Sam Sundius. And you caught my attention immediately because I think you messaged Stephanie about scheduling sex. And I was like, well, I'm always down to schedule it, you know, like we can get it on the books first thing in the morning. That would be great, you know. But I feel like there's probably a deeper meaning to it than what I have in my mind. But go ahead and introduce yourself and I think you'll probably put describe yourself better in your own words than I would.
I mean, thank you so much for having me. I'm really jazzed to be here. But like you said, I am Sam Sundius. I am a visual artist, and a coach. I tell people I kind of bridge between like creators coaching and life coaching, it's all connected anyway. And my coaching practice is called Art of Undisciplined. And I am by no means whatsoever like any sort of expert in sex. But like most humans, I have sex and I'm super awkward. So I feel like this will be like a fun set. I am a neurodivergent in like a whole bunch of ways. A lot of my coaching practice circles around that and just about everything else in my life. So yeah, when I pitched to Stephanie that I wanted to talk about scheduling sex, it was really from a very neurodivergent like point of view.
That's awesome.
Not the only way that neurodivergents have sex, but I think it's a game changer for some of us.
I totally agree. Yeah.
So I found out, like, I feel like the whole neurodivergent thing in that labeling is something that, like, really took off recently in the past, like, 5 to 10 years because of social media. And it's one of those things where all of a sudden I started seeing it, and I'm like, holy shit, that's why I'm so weird. You know what I mean? Like, that's why I can't focus on any. I love to start projects. I think I could start 100 projects a day and I'd be a happy guy. Finishing them?
Oh, no thanks.
Unless we get to that one hard part where I have to like go read a book or like look something up online to figure out how to do it, we'll save it for another day. Maybe I'll get back to it in 6 months. You know?
Or you get past the hard part and you just have more issues to do at the end and it becomes
the finishing
really hard
touches.
Right. And you're like, I get the idea. Like, I can picture what my kitchen would look like if I finished changing it. I don't need to actually go that far. Like,
right.
Let's not get excessive enough.
Yes.
Exactly.
So that's something that I've, like, I started realizing. And so we've done collabs with people. Like, you know, we're OnlyFans models. So we get intimate with people. And, you know, we've done collabs with people where they get to know us. They're like, you know, you're like really neurodivergent. Like, we look in your, like, she's like started diving into my diet, you know, and things like that. And she's like, I mean, you may even be on the spectrum or something because of how, you know, all this stuff works. I'm like, let's not go labeling, you know, I don't need to go to a doctor. And she goes, you should go get it checked out. And I'm like, what is the doctor? Do I get something free? You know, is the doctor gonna, you know, give me, you know, I don't know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I'm happy the way I am. You know, nobody needs to put a label on me and tell me what I am one way or another, essentially.
Love that. Yeah. I mean, no. Labels. No, I like this is the charmingly messy space. I don't really know between like medical diagnosis versus like self-IDing or like self-diagnosis. Right. Not really diagnosis. Yeah. If you're like identifying yourself, what a medical diagnosis gets you is meds, which is like a game changer for a lot of people. Like if that's your jam, if it is something like for those of us who are autistic, I identify as autistic, you're not really in medication for that. There really isn't anything that
that's what she was referring to me. I was like, you know, I'm very well aware. I know quite a few autistic people, and I know for a fact there's not just a medication we can give, and it's like, hey, here's a cure-all for autism.
Right. Yeah.
So you know, when that was brought up to me, she was suggesting I have ORFID, avoidance restrictive food intake disorder.
That's a new one for me. Even
I have a seriously like narrowed. Right. Diet.
Right.
And
so just like us.
But so she was telling me about it, and she was like, you should go to the doctor and they can tell you if you're if you are on the spectrum.
Sure.
Why? I'm happy. I don't need anything, you know?
Yeah.
So at honestly, that point I didn't but from your point of view, where somebody's can be medicated and it can assist in other things, I don't want to discount that. Don't.
Yeah. I mean, I have ADHD meds, and they're a game changer for me. And yeah, without going too deep into like all the neurodivergent stuff,
I love going off on tangents. Sorry.
Oh, right. No, I guess I did want to be careful because I should talk about this like way beyond the normal length of your podcast and before we use another special back to tech, because that's what happens when a bunch of neurodivergent people get together. Maybe in a different society, like I wouldn't need medications and my brain would be okay as it is, whatever. But like this is a neurotypical society, and it actually takes a lot of pressure off of me to be able to take them when I feel like it. So it's in being able to have that flexibility is like what a medical diagnosis gets you. But like honestly, like the people on the internet who are autistic, like they'll give you way more insight into yourself and like self-acceptance and stuff like that than like almost wow. I want to be careful about making huge generalizations, but just about what a medical professional is able to offer. Yeah, I'll just go with that, because the structure inside of like medicine and the reliance on like the DSM and all that stuff, it's like neurodivergence don't get to just be like different brains like out here in the wild. Like we need to be disordered in order to be treated. Like, so it's like most autistic people identify like as autistic. But then like the medical term is like autistic spectrum disorder, right? It like always needs to come back to disorder. And like a lot of the people that I work with, like they feel really conflicted about like seeking a medical diagnosis, because like it can be super validating, right? But it's like, but if you're not, if you're like,
I didn't okay think of it like that.
Your life and your brain. Yeah.
I didn't think of it like that. And I know that I am very, you know, lucky in the fact that whatever randomness I have found myself in has just happened to work for me. And I know that not everybody has been, you know, as fortunate as that, but I didn't think of it as that, as like a reassurance of, you know, this is, you know, how I am, I guess.
Right.
I've always it's been applauded for my quirks as opposed to it being a hindrance, which I guess, you know, unfortunately for some people, it you know, depending on who's in their life and the situation, it can turn into a hindrance instead of a positive if you don't have the right influences. So, well, I would love to dive into an autism and sex thing at some point too. That would just I feel like there's got to be so many different levels of that, but let's pull it back into scheduling sex.
Well, let me put like a little funny thing on that, and like I'm happy to be the first one to like introduce the spot into your podcast world, but this is not my background. But like many of the sex workers who I've met identify as autistic, and a lot of like there's like a huge overlap between like identifying as like trans or non-binary, like not buying into like gender binaries or like any of that bullshit, and being like autistic and being a sex worker, like they just happen to like go together in a lot of ways. That like
it's so interesting. It's really,
that is interesting.
Yeah.
I say it a lot. Somebody may have like, introduced a deep dive.
No. I'm saying this a lot. Like it's really gay to be neurodivergent. And being queer is like it's a very neurodivergent thing. So it's so like it makes sense that like I am a recent fan of your podcast. I would love to hear you guys go down this direction. Definitely.
I will totally go down that rabbit hole. So, I mean, I totally lack filter. So, you know, that's my only issue is I'm worried I'm going to get myself in trouble by offending somebody.
Right.
So my only thing is I just put that disclaimer out ahead of time that I mean no ill will to anybody.
Yep.
And I'm speaking from, you know, completely from my heart and absolute naivety in most instances. So I will definitely dive into that and look into it. You're not the first person that's mentioned that overlap too between autism and sex workers. I'm excited. So I'm actually, you need to write that one down here. Here's my phone.
What write
that
write
down before I forget it. I'm going to put it in a note somewhere so I can stumble across it later. Be it
now, but
an
now
hour
it's
from
out
now,
there.
6 months from now.
You guys are going to start being it everywhere. So it's going to come back to you. It's going to come back to you.
You're
sex
right.
workers are like, the stuff like the coolest people.
They are. You know, it's.
But, no, we are. This is you guys are in. No. I'm just pushing my ears.
I was gonna say, are you? Because I'll promote you too.
I'm throwing you guys in the ring.
I appreciate it. We've never really felt like we fit in with the rest of that crowd.
Right.
We are very much, I think anybody that knows us would know that we've always kind of struggled to kind of fit into one specific crowd. We like to float around to different places. We're happiest together. We are happiest just, you put us anywhere together. We don't need a group of people. We're content. We could just, you know, deserted island, the two of us, we're good to go.
Yep.
But I don't know.
Well, like, it's nice to be able to, like, go places and have people that are like-minded that are also like accepting of everything and being able to like kind of vibe with everybody. But like, we just like, I mean, we kind of like, we'll go places like that and we just kind of like exist, but we don't like,
but anytime we'll go to like deal with like, we'll reach out to like other creators or something. Maybe it's too ambitious. I'm not sure what it is.
I don't know.
And they'll look at it and be like, oh, wow, they treat this like a business. I'm not trying to do it this hard, you know? And then all of a sudden we don't hear back. We have one really good friend who I will shout out just till the end of the world, who is Babs on the Rocks. She's just one of our absolute favorite people. She's amazing. And she understands us. She kind of like gets us.
Right.
But other than that, you know, I feel like we've got to find this group, because I don't think I'm going to find the group of neurodivergent OnlyFans creators right here in my area. I think they're
everywhere,
spread out, right. You know, my people are in different parts of the globe, not locally. So
right, they're at all, you know, what is it? All quarters.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever the phrase is.
But again, I went off on another tangent. Let's bring you back in.
I loved it. Right on.
I'm supposed to reel you in, but
You're doing a terrible job at it today.
Yeah, guys, don't worry. I have this effect on people too. I like an enabler for like conversational tangents.
So am I. Any sort of thing I can latch on to that's like interesting, I'm gonna
just run with it and go
dig into it. I can't help it. It's just who I am. It's working out for the best.
Right, it's working out so far.
We're just gonna keep running with that.
All right, let me hit you with something else then while we're like moving between things. So I started I started listening to your podcast after we connected, and I really dig it. I really love what you guys are doing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There were so many moments that I like found myself laughing to myself. And I realized it's like, I guess like with any podcast, if you like take a line out of context, it probably like is like sort of like funny.
Mm-hmm.
But with you guys, there are so many lines where, like, out of context, it sounds like the title of a country song.
Uh-oh.
We did live in Nashville for about 5 minutes.
Oh, maybe so. That's why. Because I wrote maybe. Down some of them.
She's looking for them? Yes, I would love to.
Okay, cool. I wasn't sure how to read your own note. We're still practicing recent French in this space. Okay, so the first one that made me start the list was when we started swinging in Tennessee.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah. I like that.
Watch out, Jason. I might leave you for a woman.
That was a good one.
Yes, we've had a girlfriend before. I mean, seriously, you guys, these could be songs. This could be like the whole freaking out. You feel me? There's no amount of it. Like, there's a whole like narrative built in. It's just one line.
Yeah.
All right. And then the last one is like, it's not quite verbatim because I didn't have my pen with you when I heard it, but it's something like pictures of your butthole that didn't sell on the internet.
Yeah, yep. That was one of those ones that just kind of like came in and just left my head immediately without that filter.
Yep, like,
okay.
I'm glad you appreciate it, though.
I'm sorry. But the context on that one, though, too, like, it resonated so hard because you were saying, and I'm sorry. Is it the worst when people like reflect your work back to you? It's so awkward. But that's what we're here for.
We're good for it.
Yep, we're here for it.
You were saying something like, you were like, it's terrifying to think that like my mom or like a good friend would like discover like pictures of my butthole on the internet, but then like what would be so much worse if they didn't sell or something like that. That's truly intimate, and like I feel like that's unique, but I'm like, holy fuck, that's exactly what it feels like being an artist. It's like feeling pouring your soul into your shit, and like sometimes I've done work where I like feature like pictures of myself, like various Facebook undress, and I get worried about like if certain people see it. I'm estranged, so there's less pressure. Okay. And my mom is dead, bless her. I'm just sorry. She is. I love a joke, but I tend to say it lightly. But you worry if I was going to see it, and you're worrying about that embarrassment. But then, like, the kind of, like, the worst thing is, like, if no one engages with it, and it's, like you don't like, want anyone to see it, and then you're like,
wait, but I put my heart and soul into that. Why isn't it,
right?
Why is no one coming for it?
The amount of pictures we put up where we're like, that is just, this is the most incredible thing we've ever created.
I would be mortified.
This is the most incredible piece of porn that we have ever created. We present it to the world. And then it gets completely shut down. There's zero anything.
Right.
And you're like, God damn, I got to hurry up and take it down now because now it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
You know, this went from amazing to, okay, I guess it wasn't that great. Maybe I was caught up in a moment and I'm overthinking this now and it's terrible.
But we were also just talking about it literally like an hour ago about like how... Because not everybody knows in our close, circles what all it is that we do. And we were just talking about how, what do we do? Like, do we tell them? Do we not tell them? Because, like,
is it worse for them to stumble upon this and make their own assumptions about what it is that we are doing prior to us having the conversation? Or
tell them now, rip it off like a Band-Aid and get ahead of the problem. But then you have that like catch-22 where it's like, okay, you could take off and it could be really successful, or it could totally flop. And now you've told everybody that you're close to what it is you've done and you were unsuccessful.
See, so the trajectory that the podcast is on with the guests that we've been able to land and stuff, like we had Nita Marie, right, who's, got over a million Instagram followers.
Right.
And like with that kind of stuff, it's like, okay, it can get out really fast. And that's not necessarily our intent for this. Our intent truly is
just to
help her open up, to help her talk about it, and to help other people
who are
go into this
similar situations. Because, like, I mean, even now, like, it's still like,
and it would be dumb for us to not, obviously, our main source of income is OnlyFans, so right, of course, we're going to promote that at the same time.
Right.
We did not intend for all of this to fully like catch.
Take spark, because like
it's just kind of the fucking story of my life, though, honestly.
Yeah, because like if you had asked us like a month ago, like, hey, you think we'd ever be doing a podcast, we would be like, No, you're out of your mind. Like, that is not even in the, like, you know, near future, like, and now.
Wait, no, it popped in my head, and I was like, oh, shit, I got everything already for it. You know, I got the microphone.
You're like, let's try it. And, you know, here we are. So I'm like, all right. Like, it just was never our, like, intended path, but, like, you know, we are on this, I guess, journey to.
So now we got to figure out, though, how to tell our mom.
Yeah, so that's really the biggest thing. So that's
we're gonna record it.
Though. I got nothing.
Yeah,
there.
You did that conversation, and we'll dissect that one on air.
I don't. This will be fun. I did a series of work like 2 years ago, that was about like psychosexual abuse, and like some of my stuff get like my visual artwork gets like pretty graphic and everything, and I didn't know how to talk to anyone about it, so I just like. Included it in my move.
That like, works.
I'm a strange.
Just throw it in there. Just drop it and see what happens.
That works.
I mean, that's one way of doing it.
A lot of people just decided to never bring it up. Like,
okay.
I have one or two people who were like, yeah, maybe like in the preview test, you can tell me like how upsetting your email is going to be before I open it or something. But like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
We kind of feel like we'll move away from that because I'm gonna totally go off on another yeah. tangent. I like you a lot. You're wonderful. Yeah. You're a wonderful right person on. To talk to.
Feeling is much worse.
Yeah, I like to be able to like flow and have different conversation and not stick to the topic. And I mean, I think, you know, who the hell knows if other people are gonna be able to follow this as part of a conversation.
Yeah, who knows?
The autistic ones will. Hey guys.
Exactly.
There you go. Welcome.
Crowd. I'm fine. I'm welcoming.
Now there's like a bunch of people who have gotten this far in the episode and they're like, hey, I was following and I autistic. Yeah. Probably.
Autistic porn. That's what we're doing now. That'll be the title of the episode. So awkward. Boy. Autistic porn.
You know what? I'm down.
It'll get so many clicks.
I'm putting that shit on my resume, seriously.
Let's do it.
Relax.
Scheduling. Sex.
Scheduling.
So, you have a class coming up on, is it Monday? Is that when it starts?
It's this Monday, so I don't know how fast you guys publish episodes.
I'm
going
to get this out as fast as I can for you, so no worries. It'll
be out in time. If anyone is listening to this and it's before Monday... But one specific Monday the 29th of April.
I was going to say, we should be more specific.
Not just any Monday. Time is an illusion. Anyway, all right. Feel it in, Sam.
29th of April, 2024. Because this is going to be a historic podcast. You don't want people calling you 5 years from now.
So far, it's working out that way. I got this class called Worthless. That's happening on Monday afternoon time in Eastern Standard Time. Was doing like a little pen-and-cheek thing, like framing it as like a productivity thing. It's really not a productivity thing. It's about boundaries and nervous system regulation and just like really fun ways to challenge a scarcity mindset that just kind of like allow us to do less work and prioritize rest and everything. The heart of my coaching practice, which I call art of undiscipline because it's about kind of moving away from discipline and rigidity and leaning into the ways that like our brains and bodies work automatically. So if you are interested, dear listeners, you can find out more on my website, artofundiscipline.com, where I have a bit.ly that's, like a bit.ly URL that's like / good-golly. So
one thing that thing we're starting to do whenever anybody offers their services, because Stephanie, especially Stephanie 10 years ago, would never approach a service because she did not know what to expect when going into it. So one thing that we're talking about, and we did it last night with our guy that was the hypnotherapist, it was, how do we sign up? Is there a phone call involved?
What is the process like?
If she puts her information in, are you going to 30 seconds later have her on the phone trying to talk to her? Because I'll tell you right now, she's going to screen that call. You're never going to hear from her again.
Oh my God. Yes.
Right to voicemail.
So we need to know what to expect here, communication wise, moving forward. Is it going to turn into a class that is online? Is it email?
One on one.
Is it course? One on one.
Yeah, no, this is a one-time class on this Monday, April 29th. It is online. I am a big fan of online. I'm also immunocompromised, so it's what's beautiful and safe for everyone. And when you sign up for it, you will get a Zoom link. You will be added to my newsletter, which is phenomenal, let me say, but you can also unsubscribe anytime. I will not call you, I promise, unless you want me to. And when you come to the class, it is like interactive, but because I serve a lot of neurodivergent people, anyone who wants to be in there with the camera off, mic off is more than welcome.
So you're not calling anybody out.
I am not calling anybody out.
This is all
like,
right.
This is like, I'm hella autistic and like, I mean, like, it's a tongue in cheek thing, right? But I still feel like I also have this meetup group called Neuro Spicy Knitting, and I love them so much. I talked up your guys' podcast in our last meet the other day. It took me some practice in that group though to like not call on people to like introduce themselves or like by like throw out a question. I'll be like, oh, what a call on someone, because that's how I would train. But like, I hate being called on. Like, and like, there's, you know, it's fun because there's like when we're like being autistic in a new space, like sometimes we're just like there's just a bajillion things you want to talk about. Or with neurodivergent, really, in a new space, there's like 1,000 things you want to talk about. And then other times, like we just want to be like just like a fly on the wall, just listening in and everything, and yep. Like exactly. Having those options is really important.
That would be something to where, you know, if the possibility of Steph getting called out on anything was there, she would need to be fully prepared for about 3 months prior with all the questions. Yep. She will be ready, but she needs that time.
Yeah. Okay. Ooh, this is a phenomenal segue into scheduling sex, which, it's been easy since break before we started recording, like you took that to mean that I was like a very organized person, which
I
clearly am not.
Well, you know, I do my best to do very little research on people. Not because I mean it offensively, just because I get distracted, you know? And then I get to the point where I'm like, you know, I think it'd be a lot more interesting if I had to shoot from the hip on this.
See what they want to tell me about.
Yeah.
Instead of like finding out all this information and then not getting into the.
I'm not gonna lie, I did do a little more research on you than that, because you sent me your email and your links and stuff like that. So I wasn't totally blind on it, but I could have done more research. Like for Nita, you know, I bought her book and then forgot to read it.
And you straight up told her.
I told her that. I mentioned with the most love I could possibly mean.
Right.
You know, I fully intended to read it. And I promised her I'll start it one day. I just can't promise her I'm gonna finish it.
Right.
Okay, but honestly, on all the podcasts, so many people are like, I just finished reading your books. It's like, are you really reading that many books a week? Come on, podcast shows. I don't really believe you. So thank you for being good with the people.
I thought about it.
What is the word? The gesture was there. You bought the book.
I wanted to support.
100%. 100%.
So scheduling.
So I'm saying the simple segue because I feel like that's like how I've often felt around sex, is that like if like just being around our house and then all of a sudden it like switches like to sex, it feels like getting an unexpected phone call. It's so hard for me to like switch gears into it. And so I found that, and like, I think part of it is like you, when you feel like you can't, like, when you feel like you're not getting turned on, even though you're like, I love this person and I love sex with them and I want to feel sexy and I want to do the sex stuff. And then you're like, but like, it's just not fucking happening. You start to feel broken. You start to panic and like things just shut down more and more and more and more. And so I found that, like, if I, like, by scheduling it, like, I knew I was able to, like, make sure that I was, like, relaxing leading up to things. Like, I could, like, add whatever other sexy things I wanted to happen at the same time. Like if it was like have on some music or like a glass of wine or something like that. And it just kind of like took all this pressure off. And like once that was happening, then like having spontaneous sex was like so much easier. Because it's like I didn't feel broken, and like I could be like just not into it at those times when it was spontaneous, and not be afraid that this meant that like we would never have sex again. Like I think like there's a lot of this like neurodivergence playing up in this stuff, but like the whole like all or nothing, it's like that pressure in the moment when you're like not feeling turned on for like spontaneous sex, and you're like, okay, but if I say no to this, I'll never have sex again.
I see you a lot in that.
Yeah.
Because there's, first off, I've got game like a motherfucker. Okay. Look, if I want it, you know, I'm going to get it, except for from her. Because if she's just not in the mood, it doesn't matter what the fuck I do.
Right.
Because it was not something that she was expecting. And that is what's great now is that since this is all our work and this is essentially what she thinks about all the time,
right,
I can have sex anytime I want now because it's always on the table.
But if 3 years ago, 5 years ago,
yeah,
it was like a whole different, like,
the issue that we had then too was that you wouldn't even commit then. So I did try scheduling at one point, like, okay, how about tonight? You know, we do it. And then You'd be like, maybe, I don't know. I mean, can I just get a yes? I have to have something to look forward to.
I'm like, I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, maybe, we'll see.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
And that's kind of when we started figuring out, like, okay, we are at least going to jerk it off before bed because I'm going to go to bed super frustrated.
Right.
And, you know, she'd be like, okay, well, I'm at least going to be right next to you. Like, all right, well, then we're doing something intimate together, you know?
Right.
And baby steps to whatever you got to do to make it work, right?
Yeah, or like it's something like, yeah, I hear that, and I don't think of it as baby steps. I think of it as like creating like just a wider space, you know? It's like it's not an all or nothing thing. It doesn't have to look exactly like this or whatever. And like, yeah, just like there's so many different ways to be like sexy and intimate together without like feeling like that pressure of I attribute a lot of this to being autistic, right? But truly, like, the example of like Stephanie, when you're talking about like someone calling you like out of the blue, like that's what it would feel like. And I would be like, I don't even, because it's not in place, I'm not turn on or I can get on. It's just like even the pressure to evaluate whether or not I'm ready for this right now,
right,
is sometimes just too much for my brain. And like,
oh, I totally get it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and like phone calls, like I'm not really talking about like do this tonight. I'm like, I need like a couple days, like head start.
Oh yeah. 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 I feel that, like,
yeah.
No, it's so true though. Like the amount of times that I've like, just out of the blue, because I've always been like, okay, I want to be more spontaneous, you know what I mean? I want to be like, hey, let me throw you up against the wall randomly, or, you know, we're out, you know, hiking somewhere, and all of a sudden she pulls down my pants, you know. Well, she does now because we film,
right,
and she makes money from it. It's apparently a big motivator for her is people,
I mean,
you know,
wherever you can throw in some extra dopamine, it's nice,
right? Yeah.
But yeah,
back then it was never.
It was terrifying. It was just like I would shut down because it was like my brain just, yeah, like you said, like you just can't, like.
So I'd be like, hey, and try to kiss her. She'd be like, nope.
It's like trying to evaluate what's happening with your body already throws you into like sensory overload, and like,
yep,
and like at that point, like nothing feels good, and you just kind of feel trapped, and you feel even more trapped because you're like, it's sex with someone who I find really sexy, and like,
right,
and I'm not into it, like,
right. Then you feel bad because then you're like, well, I don't want to say no, but there's like those feelings. But then at the same time, you're like, I'm not feeling it. So
yeah, like I don't even understand what's happening with me right now.
Right.
So
right.
Totally.
Yep. That's for
totally.
Sure.
Totally. And like spontaneous sex, like outside of the house, like I feel like for me, like it's so much easier than like when it's like, when we're in the house, and then my brain switches into this all or nothing like kind of thing, like of it's like, oh well, it's today, but tomorrow's gonna look just like this, so what if I need to be ready, like also like I okay. I feel like I'm talking down sex at this point. I don't mean to.
You're good.
No, you're fine.
But just like, yeah. I get okay. So again, like putting the qualifier on it that like I'm not a sex expert, and I'm about to talk about a book that I haven't even finished reading yet.
That qualifies you in my book. As far as I'm concerned, on this podcast, if you've read part of a book, you are an expert. Go on.
I've read. Like a couple of significant chapters,
hey, so many pages of it.
This is really just you guys, PhD. Yes. Listen, I'm about to defend. No, but embarrassingly, I'm about to talk about this. Still gonna care. I can't remember the author's name. It's called "Come as You Are."
Oh, we have it. We have a bunch of books that we never read.
Okay,
I've heard of that one.
That's one of them.
I love this one. Yeah, it's pink and it's got like the pointers on it. Very sexy. You know, guys, like for this is a audio, so you can't see what I'm doing, but it's like a very Yannick coin purse.
She made a vagina shape with her hands.
I'm making
everybody.
A vagina. That's the Yannick. Yannick versus it's beautiful. I'm just gonna still like this for the rest of the episode.
That'll be the screenshot for the episode. Let's all put our vaginas. That's definitely gonna be a screenshot on something.
I know. They don't get enough shout out, you know? So
vaginas?
They like the attention. Yes, I feel like, you know.
I'll give them all the attention, it's fine.
What was I saying? Okay, so this incredibly gifted author, whose name will I hope be in your guys' show notes because I can't think of it right now. But she talks about like there's two systems, but like we talk about sex drive, right? Like it's one thing. It's just zero to sexy. And
Emily Nagoski.
Oh my god, thank you so much. Emily Nagoski.
There you go.
Yeah, and based off the first part of this book, you guys, you should absolutely read it. That's not actually how sex drive works. There's two different systems, and one system is getting turned on, and the other system is getting turned off. But they're like separate systems. Because if you picture eight having sex out in the wild, and then all of a sudden there's like a leopard or something, then like you can't wait to like not feel sexy to then turn into survival mode and run, like you need to be able to like switch really fast. But because like you live in this like truly bizarre contemporary era of not being in the wilderness or really knowing what the fuck is going on around us so much of the time, like we can operate where like we're both turned on and turned off at the same time, like both systems can be on at the same time. And she calls it trying to drive with the parking brake on. Because it just feels like you're not getting anywhere. And so why scheduling sex works so well to create a space where I can practice leading up to it, making me the breaks beyond, and just be ready for the other system of feeling sexy and being into sex. So like it's like sleep hygiene almost, you know, those actually organized people who talk a lot about sleep hygiene, and they're like, you should not look at screens after a certain time, and like you should have a resilient bedtime, and like turn the lights down, and you know,
if
like
I had
all of
that
those
kind
things.
Of self-regulation,
but, like,
let me tell you.
I know, I dream of it. I get good enough at it for like to like get the sleep that I need. I'm not very good at sleeping either, so that
we just bang it out right with before bedtime, and we pass right
out. Mean,
it's fantastic.
There you go. But if you have neither of those things, you need to do boring shit, like make sure that like the light drops on your phone is at the same time every night.
That's unfortunate.
But no, it's okay. The thing is, whatever gets you there is the thing, though, right? Like, the final thing about using is that once it gave us all of the structure to get there, and get there is either sex or sleep. and like our full body is able to like mellow out and like get there more easily in the future. Cause it just like it feels supported. It doesn't feel like it needs to like be ready for anything. And I think that's especially the case for like a lot of neurodivergent people who feel like we're already like super tough, just trying to like get through the fucking day. Like being ready for so many different things is just exhausting. And like being able to plan for one thing is a huge relief to our brains and our bodies. And I told a friend about scheduling tech, which is like some like sitcom nightmare shit, right? And she's really cool. We're good friends. And this felt very uncharacteristic, but she's just like, wow, that's the most unfitty thing I've ever heard. And I was like, well, the difference is that like I have sex when we schedule it. So for me, it's way sexier than not scheduling.
Right?
I get it from that context. Right. And immediately when she had brought it up, that was the first thing I thought is we had literally tried that. We had,
right.
We have, you know, successfully scheduled it. But it was not to the point to where I'd feel like, oh yeah, I can get this thing onto a regular schedule. Right. And she's going to commit to it.
No.
But every now and then I'd luck out and she'd pull through.
Right. Usually I'd get too tired.
But my least favorite one is when I did too good of a job working her up and she falls asleep.
Yeah.
Because I relaxed her too well.
Your voice stuck in a year late.
Yeah, that's really bad when that happens.
So times that has happened. I mean, I'm giving it my best game.
Yeah.
This shit people would pay hundreds of dollars for a professional masseuse. And she just, boom. Yeah, no, I'm not. The second I touch her butthole, it's just no.
Thanks.
See, there's that butthole. It just slipped through the filter.
There it is. There it is again. Really in.
Yeah, that word is just not able to be filtered in my mind for some reason.
Nope. Does it need to be filtered?
I don't think so. I guess not. It pops in and it just immediately comes out. It's like that's a trigger word that needs to be said. But no, I get the scheduling. I prefer spontaneity, but I think from a guy's perspective, I'd love to hear, you know, from a, you know, the difference on like, you know, obviously women get turned on differently, you know, and how they go about things. I could be turned on for any fucking reason, you know, so like I would never have to schedule it. Like scheduling's fine for me. It doesn't offend me, but I also don't see how I would personally benefit from it, but I see how you would because you just straight up would not have had it without it.
Right. So, yeah. But like, you know, like we said, like what, like 3 years ago, 5 years ago, yeah, that was probably a huge like thing for us. Was like not so much the spontaneity, but just like actually like,
but
doing.
Even if we break it down, right, not just talking about the acts of sex, but even us scheduling content now, right?
Yeah.
So you love to know every fucking detail of what we are about to do. There's no, I'm not allowed to be like, hey,
you're gonna call it audible.
We're just gonna go and let's film something natural. It's not, we're gonna do this. Okay, but how long do you think we're gonna do that for? I don't know, like 3-4 minutes.
Yeah,
something like that. I'll tap you on the head. You know, how are you gonna know it's 3 or 4 minutes? I don't know, babe. I'm looking at the phone. I've got the. We do this for a living. We've been doing it for 3.5 years. I'm gonna do it the same way I've done it every other time.
But like,
she has to know the details.
She wants
the reassurances. You. And I'm at the point I don't get upset with it. I just say, yeah, man, it's good.
Amazing.
I got you.
Yeah.
I got you, you know.
Like, I'm going to do this. Hey, and then from there, I'm going to, like, move you into. And I'm like, well, how am I going to know? How, like, what cues are you? You'll know. And I'm like, I know. But I mean, like, how am I going to go? You'll know. Like, you know, we'll move from point A to point B or whatever it is that we're doing. And you will know.
That's what the beautiful thing of this, us embracing this whole, like, awkward term is now instead of me being like, you know, her stressing out, I'm going to be like, just be yourself. It's fine. People are digging the awkward thing. Let's just, you can be awkward.
You have to apologize.
If like, I'm awkward. Sorry. Yeah. You know,
like, oh, that was awkward. Or, you know, any of that. It's just like, I can just like be me. And then like, just be like, again, I mean, that was awkward. So like, you know, that's just who I am. Sorry, guys. So.
And listen, just because.
Good.
Just because 66% of the people in this conversation operate this way doesn't mean that we're like the majority or anything. but like four people who are like us, like, yeah, the game changer. I mean, like, I hear you, the excruciating detail of like the things that need to be planned, but like, I mean, I feel like for me, if I could be a different way, I would probably pick it. But I can't. Right. And like planning right. all of this stuff out is just like, that's shit that my brain doesn't have to hold on to anymore. Like, I don't have to worry about knowing that the thing's going to be over,
or like,
I'm really bad at like
stopping tasks.
Like conversation
or
going home from like, I'm at my studio right now. Like sometimes like I get too tired to go home and so I stay here for many extra hours. Like I'm very bad at stopping things.
So if I would die a couple minutes later,
that's like, oh my God, so much less work for my brain to do. I'm like,
and like
structure. I know a lot of us think of it as like limitations,
but like,
really, it's just like
a platform or like a stage to be able to like
have more fun inside of you. Like our houses are structured, like buildings are structured, like
it's
and then inside there's all this room for activity. To borrow a line from Step Brothers, but like seriously, like
it's such a release, right?
I think a lot more people may have, you know, the odd neurodivergent tendency than maybe known, you know.
Right.
So I think this may be something that a lot of people find is just okay, this could be the solution, you know, to what I need. Even if you're not neurodivergent, it's something you can certainly try and see if it helps. And for me, I don't mind. I'm at the point, obviously, I've learned that I'm going to get laid if I give her all the details. So I don't mind. I've learned. And I also know that I've got my fair share of just pain in the ass things that she has to deal with. Like I started a random ass podcast that she's all of a sudden has to be part of, you know, nobody asked her about that. She just went with it. So,
I went off with the kids and came home and you're like, hey, I started a podcast. I'm like, oh, like, what do I have to do? He goes, oh, you have to be on it. I'm like, and do what? And he goes, we're going to talk about all of our sex and all of our, oh,
okay.
Like, cool. Like, so, like, I guess we're doing that. So, I was like, I'm going to need more details. Like, you know, I'm going to need more than just, hey, we started a podcast.
You know, she puts up with my, I'm terrible, like I said, with eating. You know, she does not give a shit. We could eat pizza every night of the week and she's fine, you know? So, there's a give and take.
Thousands of projects.
Thousands of projects, you know? Stop asking me to get it done. It'll get done eventually.
Or I just get frustrated and I
just do it yourself.
Do it myself.
But then still need your help.
There's a give and take. And I think that, you know, maybe even if we've got a, you know, non-neurodivergent husband listening and they're getting frustrated with their wife because they're just like, I just can't, like, I know she loves me. I love her. I just can't figure out why I can't get laid. I just need to get my dick wet.
Right.
Then that could be your solution. Give it a try. Let's say, hey, let's go from there. Or even better solution is to make them start listening to our fucking podcast from episode one. And then, you know, they can subscribe to the OF, you know, see what you really do making all that money. That's the part your mom's going to end up watching. Drop that little bit of anxiety in there for you.
Thanks. Let me stew on that one for a little bit. But yeah. I don't know.
You were saying maybe like this. I wanted to point out, oh my God, brain catch up. These kinds of things, like sometimes we refer to them as like organizational scaffoldings, like the structure that we do around like activities and stuff like that. But, like neurodivergent people, like sometimes really need, or like always really need, but around different things, right? Like food versus sex or whatever. But the wild thing about it is that it served everyone. Like even people who do not identify as neurodivergent or who are as far away from neurodivergent as possible. Because I'm not totally convinced that neurotypical is actually a thing. But it can also help with that. And like the funny thing is too, like I wonder like how much is gender stuff. I think that the expectations placed on women definitely add to that pressure that I feel in those moments, at least, those things that can contribute to sex breaks beyond. But again, according to the books that I read, enough of further conversation. Like, it's like,
doctor,
right? The range of how some, like, the, no, she calls it like the potency. No, what does she call it? Anyway, like how much someone's like sex accelerator turns on versus how much their brakes turn on. Like the range as men like tend to be a little bit higher than for women, but there's more overlap like than like what we would really think. So I wonder too, like how much of this conversation might be helping out some dude listening also.
It's very possible. And you know, what's funny is I'm seeing a lot of kind of comparisons to what you're discussing with that and with the guy that we talked to last night, Dr. Nick, the sexual hypnotherapist. Yep. I'm not sure. Have you ever been hypnotized?
I have dabbled in some hypnosis, but not like...
I'm super skeptical.
Okay.
My ADHD did not allow me to focus long enough to do anything.
I'm really curious about this.
So I just kind of didn't like I kind of started to feel like I could, you know. Dude is super knowledgeable, first off.
Oh yes.
So it's worth listening to if you haven't. But like part of the podcast, like he literally is doing the hypnosis for us. We do it while we're on the podcast.
You're like holding your hand out. It's really like the Sweeney watch or something.
No, he looked like that. It was we didn't even look at him. Why am I holding my hand out?
I don't know. I don't know. Why did I do that? Me. I don't know.
Am I doing the swinging watch?
Because
I don't know. Yeah. But he
look, don't
that.
Call me out on stuff like this. I don't like it, all right?
I don't know. I'm just trying to follow.
No, we had our eyes closed. Like, he had us, like, basically, like, lay down, kind of relax, eyes closed. So, like, we didn't even look at him while, you know.
But I didn't fall for it necessarily. Like, I started to, but I was like, I felt like I was maybe just cut short. But
well,
afterwards.
I say it was supposed to be about 15 minutes, and it was only about 10 minutes that we ended up doing it. So,
but like, you were like, she bought it hook, line, and sinker.
Wait, what is that? But what does that mean?
So he put her into a place. He like basically was like, you're going to be in a place where you're comfortable, where you let go, where your sexuality is okay. And like, she was able to picture herself on the beach at Hedonism in Jamaica. And I mean, I checked the oil afterwards, you know, and she was super wet. So like, it obviously worked, you know, there's some like legitimacy to it. But what I was getting at is he was saying that the difference between guys and women on how they get turned on is that women have all these other external forces that are, you know, essentially, you know, could be stopping them. And even though physically everything's saying, you know, like you're saying with the, you know, the accelerator, maybe the body's turned on and ready to go, but the brain isn't quite there.
Yeah.
And so what he's able to do with the hypnotherapy is essentially bypass some of that and just goes directly to it.
Yeah.
I thought it was super cool.
It sounds weird.
And it sounds wild. He's like, it's not voodoo. And I was like, because my thought is, you know, we're talking, and I told him this directly too. It was like, when I think of hypnotherapy, I think of, you know, the guys at the carnival, you know, making people walk around like they, you know, are farting and stuff. I don't think of it in a clinical aspect. So this was pretty wild.
No, yeah. I've done some training with a hypnotherapist, and I use some stuff that borders on that in my coaching practice. And I feel like the like we think of one really specific thing when you think of hypnosis, but it's actually like anything that kind of keys us into like neuroplasticity, like letting our brains do something different.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was like hesitant because I feel like there are still some like hypnotists, like, and I'm doing air quotes, like the ones in the TV shows, like people who like market themselves that way. But so
that's what I told him. I was like, that was what my holdup was all along, is I feel like that has probably discredited not the entirety, but a lot of the profession. Is a lot of people are just gonna be like, no, this is gonna be a bunch of horse shit. But I mean, you, I believe you. You're not one to bullshit me.
Right.
So you, I mean, she never once in her life told me something, you know,
right,
is happened when it hadn't. So
I'm
super impressed by it. I think that's cool. But just I love to be able to take like the conversation that we're having with you, and we're relating it back to all these other things, and we're seeing that
there's all these like similarities.
There's all similarities, yeah.
Like it's not cut like and dry. It's like they all kind of like.
I wonder how many neurodivergent theater. Swinger podcasts there are.
I would bet all of them.
So.
probably.
I don't know. I haven't gotten along with very many of the swinger groups, though.
No, that's true.
They're usually very clicky, very, I feel like a very popular crowd, almost.
Okay.
The groups that I've, let's see, but okay. then I'm going, you know.
Goes against the stereotype, totally.
Well, maybe we're just going to the wrong places.
Maybe, I don't know, I feel like every time that we've gone to any kind of those places, we don't fit in regardless of where we are, or who's there, it's just like, we're always
doing a deep dive into the neurodivergent autism porn and all that kind of stuff. Is there any autistic porn stars? I need to find an autistic porn star to interview.
Yeah, I guess that's your deep dive now.
No, I feel like you put the call out there. Like, I, again, like,
autistic porn star.
It's not an autistic porn star. It's a porn star who identifies as autistic, because there's probably a ton of autistic porn stars, but you're looking for someone who is actually keyed into what's happening with their brain.
I would like to circle back to that one thing I said earlier about not offending people.
No. Wait. Hold up. This is not a PC thing. I'm saying making a generalization saying that probably, like, there are a ton of autistic porn stars. Again,
saying I shouldn't just, I could interview any porn star.
Well, but if you want to talk about autism, then you need, like,
I want the one that is straight up saying, hey, I am, this is who I am. I am the neurodivergent. You know what I need to do? I need to go onto the disability subreddit.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of, they have the neurodivergent, like neurotypical stuff like that onto that one too.
Okay.
And that's where all those sex workers basically advertise for themselves. Because that's a very specific niche.
Yeah, for sure.
I'll just find the most popular one and invite them. That's pretty cut and dry, right?
Sure. I was just trying to hold space for all of the autistic porn stars who don't know they're autistic yet.
I'm holding space for everybody. Come on.
Everybody.
Come on, come all.
Yeah. For sure. No, but I don't know what's that, like. From the stereotypes of swingers, what you guys are describing sounds outside, like, the stereotype with, like, swinger groups, right? But, like, from a human behavior standpoint, it's like, yeah, humans are clicky and gatekeepy as shit. Especially, like, maybe it is, like, a neurodivergent thing, because, like, talking to neurotypicals sometimes feels like speaking a different language.
Right? Yeah,
I cannot make myself understand.
I get it. Yeah.
Well, I can do it. I was in sales for years. I'm fantastic at, you know, I was a musician too though. So, you know, I can do accents. I can do whatever I need to do to get what I got to get done. But
not me.
Yes.
Nope, not even close.
Yeah, but I prefer to talk to people that are a little more, you know,
are
able to go with my flow.
Right.
You know,
our speed.
When the wind blows, they kind of, you know, drift off with me. It's a lot more fun that way, at least.
For sure.
Is there anything else, Sam, that you would like to bring up that, I mean, we're definitely going to promote your links.
Yeah.
You have your course coming up on
Monday.
I had a blast talking to you. I did not know what to expect today, but I had fun, like, just genuinely had fun with you. So thank you.
Aww, thanks. Likewise.
It was awesome. And I hope everybody else enjoys it too, because I feel like this is just a genuine, you know, raw conversation. At least, you know, I probably said something dumb. That's fine. Hey,
you know, like,
you know,
there's a lot of, like, realizations.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, that maybe
things that we hadn't
right.
This is not something that we get to talk to.
Right.
We've not opened it up. Right. And talked to it with a lot of people yet, because it's been something that's been very closed in. So, with us being able to branch out and ask the awkward questions that, you know, maybe, you know, I certainly haven't been able to speak to somebody who identifies as having autism and, you know, is having sex, you know, it's not something that's ever been really thought of for me. So that's just cool, just to be able to dive into that kind of shit and just, like, I don't know, hopefully other people find it interesting too. You know,
I mean, if not,
or at least maybe it'll make other people feel seen, which would be nice as well. You know, it's nice to feel seen and to feel like, hey, I'm not alone in this world. There's other people that are doing exactly, you know, what I am doing.
Totally. I feel like, I don't know, but the first thing that stood out to me in your guys' podcast when I started listening to it is that it did really feel like you, I just like, awkward can be used as like a fun, quirky, whatever, whatever. But like, you guys seem to really be like, no, this shit is messy and there's a lot of stuff to figure out. And even like even leaning like, into the parts that are like really fun and feel good is sometimes like kind of like messy and like also, but like in a cool way. And it just, it's just, I don't know, it's like deeply human and again, super funny.
So excited.
No one's listening as closely to what you say as I was when I was writing down lines for country songs.
Well, I like those.
I think that's reassuring.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Well, I will make sure that I have everything down there. You have your course on Monday.
I have my course on Monday. I also work with people one-on-one. So I
don't be scared to reach out.
That too. Do not. I will not call you, but it does start, you call me, but it's cool. I'm relatively cool.
Do you promise not to yell at him on the phone?
Oh, I've never yelled at anyone on the phone.
Okay, you promise?
It didn't work for an insurance company.
Okay, because if I get listeners reaching out to me saying that you yelled at them, I'm going to be really upset, Sam.
Okay.
Thank you again, Sam. It was fantastic speaking
to
you.
Yes, thank you.
And hopefully we can have you on again if I have some other questions. Or maybe you can direct the neurodivergence our way, too. If you catch them out in the wild, you just throw them at me.
I already have been. Yeah, I will. I will.
Awesome. Totally. Thank you, Sam.
This was great. Thank you, Ben.
Awkward people, Stephanie and I are super excited to announce a new partnership that we have with a swinging community site called SDC. Now, the way that we're going to handle this one is this is where we're going to communicate from now on with anybody that we want to play with, because SDC has a great way of letting us figure out exactly what somebody is. It's going to ask all the right questions. I get to know what their height, their weight, their play preference, all kinds of pictures. They can upload videos, and it makes it super easy to search and verify location on. So we figured, hey, if they're going to let us play and advertise, it's probably going to be the right site for us to use, right, Steph?
Absolutely. I mean, it makes sense.
It's like window shopping now. Steph can just jump on and whoever she likes, boom, right there. Now, if you want to make sure that you get connected with us on that site, sign up through our link, awkwardxxx.com. Anybody that signs up there, we will find out. Now, maybe not immediately because we're still learning, but we will find you and we will send you a message saying, hey, thank you for joining, and it'll be a great way for us to connect and have unfiltered conversation together. So we're really looking forward to it, and hopefully we'll see you online at Awkward XX. So we dropped all of our prices because we're trying to create community here instead of just try to make money. You know, I always said that when I was in real estate, that if we took care of our community first, the money would come. And
they
take
care of us.
Exactly. And that's what we're trying to do here. So on our Fansly now, we have it opened up pretty wide. For about $100, you can see every pay-per-view that we have available.
Right.
Opened right there. We're also dropping the prices of our pay-per-views across the board. So instead of $30 a pop, they're going to be $20 a pop. We know the economy is struggling right now, but we also just really want to increase the amount of people that can see our content and possibly join in. So if you think that might be you, check it out, virginitysnatchers.com. Please support us and leave a comment, like it, share it, tell your family about it, and we'll see you there.
Hey, Jason, I think it's time for some shameless self-promotion.
All right, babe. What do you got on your mind?
Well, we've been talking about the Spicy Pages a lot on the podcast, but I think it's time that we finally invite them in and let them see what it's all about.
Yeah, okay. I mean, everybody always wants to know how to get involved and all that kind of stuff. And the first way to get involved is to, you know, actually see what it is that we do. All of our stuff is so real and so raw.
Right.
But how are you thinking we do it? Like movie announcer style?
Sure, we can give it a try.
All right, let's give it a go.
In a world where ordinary podcasts just aren't enough, two podcasters with incredible genitalia break free from the mic to bring you an awkward experience like no other. Exclusive content awaits at virginitysnatchers.com.
Dive deep behind the scenes and join us for unfiltered, uncut, and undeniably wild adventures.
Don't just listen, be a part of the journey.
You can come watch me take every single virginity, see close-ups as they enter my pussy for the first time, and get an even closer look into our kinky world.
How was that for dramatic?
I mean, it was dramatic. It might be a little over the top, but I think they'll get the point.
All right. Well, if y'all want to reach out to us, you check out our paid pages. You can find them all on virginitysnatchers.com. Love to interact. We love to do custom content, and we love to help answer your questions. If you need a guaranteed response, you find us on there. If you want to support us, that's the way to do it. Now,
let's get back to the show.